Lord Jesus, we are thankful to be here this evening to study your word, to look into your word and see, Lord, how it applies to us on this very day. I pray, Lord, that you would use our time and study this evening to cause us to have great thoughts about you, to trust you, to find ourselves satisfied with you alone and praising you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at our times that we're living in right now, for a number of families within our church, it's a difficult time. They're looking and there's stress that's there and uncertainty that's there, maybe like that has not been like that in the past. I was looking at John Piper's website, and he did a message specifically dealing with the recession and how to live during this time in a way that would glorify God most. And the first text that's here, 2 Corinthians 1:1-11, is a text that he used for that. And I added several other texts, but I want us to look at how we as a church should respond in a time when things are difficult. And when we talk about things being difficult, it's difficult for us right now. I mean, as far as things that people are experiencing, looking and you know, for us, we've watched our real estate kind of just nosedive, where, you know, it was just a couple years ago that we were talking about, like, wow, we could, you know, sell our property and go move to some other state and pay cash for a place and then have a lot left over as well, you know. And we don't talk like that anymore. We talk about, like, okay, if we can just keep making the payment, then we could stay here, you know, and how far upside down might we be, or are we upside down and looking at it? And I know that there's people in our church where the economy has gone in such a way that they look and they're so far upside down, they don't know quite what to do. There's people that are looking and just saying, I don't know where my next job's going to be, or looking at their circumstances and saying, you know, here's my skill set and now I've been laid off, or the economy's changed to be such where I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table and how I'm going to provide for the needs that are there. And I want us to take a look at this and just take a real biblical look at how the church is to respond. It's a situation for us as a church where I feel sometimes as a pastor that I feel called to prepare people for not just difficulties in the financial area, but just difficulties in life. We talk frequently about God's control over all things, His sovereignty over all things, and looking at the fact that it's true without a doubt that all things work together for good, and dealing with issues of the problem of evil and how these things exist. Because we've had families that have gone through some trials where a recession is no big deal in comparison to losing a family member. A recession is no big deal in comparison to getting cancer. They would take a recession any day over some of the things that members of our congregation have gone through that have been just absolutely brutal. And some of you may be going through things right now at this very time. I look, and fortunately we had two major praise reports over the last 2 weeks. One was today, finding out that Priscilla Rodriguez, who's just right back there, she got an MRI on her head because she was getting dizzy and then losing feeling in her face and blurred vision, and they were concerned about whether there was a tumor that was there, and she found out today that there's no tumor and that she's dealing with some other things with her migraines. But there was such a relief as far as, okay, that's okay. Jeff Lawler dealing with the tumor that he has on his arm and not knowing whether or not there was cancer that was in there, and if it was bone cancer, what that meant. If it was a sarcoma that had cancer in it, the seriousness of that is one of the worst cancers you could have as far as physically and the way that it spreads. And we prayed so hard for Jeff with reference to that. And I mean, I was prepared for the worst of news. You know, he's a photographer, and I guess they only make right-handed cameras because most Japanese people are right-handed. And so he's looking at it like, how do I, you know, like, how can I still do photography if I have no use of my right hand? And to find out that there was no cancer in there, it was something that was something we just rejoiced over. But there's been times where we haven't rejoiced in that way. We're there hearing some of the worst news that we could possibly hear with members of our church. And, you know, I've been there in the midst of watching them just lay down on their family room floor weeping as hard as they can weep. And you look and you just think, okay, how do we think biblically? And it's one thing to be able to come to you at this particular point when things are maybe going well and to say, here's how to think biblically on these things. It's another thing to be in the midst of a crisis and trying to encourage you in the same things. And what we try to do over and over again is look and say, let's be rooted. Let's be grounded in God's word and in his sovereignty and understanding that he is to be trusted and he is faithful now at this time, so that when those trials come, it's not something where it puts us in a tailspin. And there's going to be grieving and there is going to be weeping at times, but it doesn't change the fact that we say, I trust him. His grace is sufficient for me. His strength's made perfect in my weakness. And things may be going great financially for some people here in the church, and for others, it's not. But looking at this, as well as other issues that we deal with in this life, and looking and saying, let's be prepared. Let's think biblically. Now, we have a lot of young people who are here this morning where you may be in a place where it doesn't matter all that much, you know? Whether or not, I know that there are certain individuals here that they're thrilled by the fact that the economy's gone down and now they can afford a house. Like, they're looking and they were praying for that for a long time, and we prayed against you and you won in some way. But I've talked with people where they're like, oh, I just want the market to go down so we could buy a house someday. And I've looked at these people thinking like, oh, I kind of hope that for you, but it would be tough for us. And yet, there will be a time where you'll be in a situation later on in life where you'll be glad that you have been rooted and grounded in these things. I remember as a young kid dealing with that time where, you know, Jimmy Carter was the president and listening to my parents talk about...
It's okay, Frank.
Interest rates and them shooting up and what that was doing to my parents' house payment as it was shooting up and the stress that was involved during that time. And then things were doing pretty well for a number of years as far as within my own personal life. And then to watch things kind of take a dip again and not knowing at what point will it hit the bottom and then start coming back up again. And there's a lot of uncertainty that's there. And so I want to look at this and do our best to think, how can we approach this biblically as Christians today? Okay? So let's look at our text. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Acacia. Okay, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I want to stop there for a moment and just look at that particular section where it tells us that the God that we serve is to be blessed. He is the God of all comfort. And then it tells us who comforts us in all our tribulation. Have you found that to be the case in your own life? You go through some of the most difficult times that you could ever possibly go through, and you find the comfort of God in the midst of those times. I talked with Jeff Lawler quite a bit as he was going through the issue with his arm, and as he continues to go through that. But watching him, and I think it's fair to say, Jeff, that you were comforted so much with God being in control of that situation. It wasn't a tumor that was outside of his control. It wasn't something that caught God by surprise. It was something that was totally in his grips. And God comforted him during that time. There are specific passages of Scripture, without a doubt, that comforted Jeff during a time of trial. And it was God's word going forward saying, I'm the Lord your God. I hold all these things in my hands. There's nothing that's too hard for me. There's no one that can stop me. There's nothing that's outside of his control. And listening to God's word on it and saying, okay, I'm comforted in this time. And it says he comforts us in all our tribulation. Regardless of our circumstances, God comforts us in that time. And then it tells us that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Comforts us that we might be able to comfort others who are in any kind of trouble whatsoever with the comfort that we ourselves are comforted by God. If you're going through a difficult time right now, you look and you say, okay, God, this is how you've comforted me. And you're able to take that and you see somebody else in a similar situation, and it may be 10 years later. It may be 30 years later. But all of a sudden, you could kind of just picture yourself right there with them. You know what they're experiencing. You know what they're going through. And you think of the overwhelming comfort that God has comforted you with. And you're able to just be there right then, there, and minister to them. I think of Tasha, my wife Tasha, who's gone through, within a period of 2 months, she lost one of her best friends in a car accident, who had a little couple-month-old baby, and then she lost her dad to cancer. And I was with Tasha during that time, not as her husband and not in any kind of relationship with her, but just as a friend, and watched her go through these difficult circumstances that had such a major impact on her life. And there's no doubt at this point, Tasha had no idea at that point that she would ever be my wife or that she would ever be in any kind of active role in ministry. And yet God used those circumstances to create in her the soft heart that is so quick to weep with those that are weeping, so quick to minister to people. And she sees people that have gone through a major trial, whether it be losing someone in a car accident or to cancer, and she is just right there with them. And we look and we see that God says that he comforts us, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so we look in the midst of difficulty and say, God, you have ministered to me in such a way where I look and I'm able to say, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, his grace abideth still. His kingdom is forever. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. It continues on and on. And we look and we say, praise God for ministering to me. Praise you for ministering to me in this way. May I be able to go and just, when I see someone in a difficult position, encourage them to be able to cling to Christ during that time. It goes on and it says in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so our hope is for you is steadfast. So also you will partake of the consolation. And then verse 8 says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Interesting text there, huh? For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We don't want you to not know about this major trouble that we went through when we were in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure. What took place in our life, you couldn't even measure it as far as the difficulty that we went through when we were in Asia, Paul says. It was above strength, so that we despaired even of life. At that point where you're saying, no strength, I couldn't believe, the burden, it couldn't be measured, and I was despairing even of life. I mean, talk about being at a place of just I just want to go home. I can't handle this. And I've seen people in situations where they're just, I just want to die. It would be so much better just to, I don't even want to live anymore. I just want to be with Him. You're at a place where the weight of the trial, the tribulation, the trouble, the difficulty is so great that you don't know how you could ever possibly handle it. And He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that we went through this. I want you to understand that we went through this. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Our trust, it wasn't in ourselves, it was in God. All of our trust was in Him who raises the dead. A God who could bring those who were dead back into life again. Our hope, it was in Him. It wasn't in our circumstances. It wasn't in a bailout plan. It wasn't in the fact that interest rates may go down. It wasn't in the fact that we might have a job someplace else. It wasn't in anything other. He says, my hope, my trust, it wasn't in me. It wasn't in ourselves. But in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, and whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. He delivered us. He brought us through this. I don't want you to be ignorant. I was despairing even unto death. Looking and saying, I was at the bottom, and yet my hope, my trust was in Him. And there's clarity here with with the apostle saying, you are going through a major trial, but I don't want you to be ignorant. I went through this, and this is where my hope was. And you may be in a place where you're ministering to somebody, and you know that you have never been through what they've been through. And yet you know what it is to be at the bottom. You know what it is to be up at night and just weeping. You know what it is to feel like there is no security that is there. Everything that you knew to be normal is gone. And your trust was in a great God. Your trust was in a God that is so big. You look and you say, there's not anything in this universe that is outside of His control. Nothing. There's not a terrorist that's outside of God's control. They may think that they are, but they're not. God can obliterate them at any time. And there's times where He does. There's times where they're caught right before they act. There's not one cancer cell that's outside of God's control. Not one. Nothing happens by chance. It's something where God, His providential hand, guides and controls all things. This economic time for the United States and across the world, this is not outside of God's control. There's a reason that God has decreed that these things happen. And I look, and there might be frustration on your part. There might be frustration on our part. Like at my part, looking at the media and the frenzy that was brought up in the midst of all these things. I think that so much of what took place is media driven anyhow. Talking about how terrible it is, making people not want to spend money, making it so that it just, however bad it was, it got 10 times worse, I think, by the media. Making it far worse than it maybe needed to be. But my hope isn't in them. And it's not in the Fed. And it's not in anything else that might drive the economy in a better direction. It's in looking at a God that says He's in control of all these things. We live in the most materialistic society imaginable to men, to where people, their security is found in a 401k. Their security is found in the equity within their home. Their security is found in how much they have in the stock market. It is not found in a God who controls all things. It's found in their own health and them eating all the right things and exercising enough and doing everything right. It's not found in a God who sustains us. And if God so chooses to make it so that people across our nation come to a place of hitting rock bottom, trust Him in it. Look and say, okay, I'm just glad that I have Him when I'm at rock bottom. Because there's other people who don't. We look and they could take away everything from us, but the fact of the matter is that they can't take Christ no matter what. Our trust, our hope is in Him who raises the dead to life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I love this passage. You look at this church. It says, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. God's grace that was given to these churches in Macedonia. Out of the most severe trial, out of the most difficult circumstances that they could ever imagine, it tells us there was overflowing joy. Most difficult circumstances, joy that is just overflowing, and their extreme poverty. Now, when they talk about extreme poverty here in 2 Corinthians 8, I don't think that it means that 30% of their portfolio went away. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, as you look at this, it's not talking about their, that they, it's a nice ring. No, I'm totally kidding. Usually it's Tom that has his phone go off. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'll take
you look, though, and think of extreme poverty. I don't think this is all meaning that they couldn't make a house payment or that they may lose their house. I don't think this is talking about that they missed a car payment. I think they look at this, and when they talk about extreme poverty, they don't have food. Or they're looking at it, and there's no ability to purchase any clothing. They're at a place where it's hard. I mean, I remember being in South Sudan where, man, the people had nothing. I've literally landed someplace where there was people crawling to the airstrip because they had no ability, they had no strength to walk. Walking for 45 minutes to an hour towards the little village and seeing people die, literally die along the way. Looking and seeing people laying there, flies all over their bodies. You could see every bone in their body. They were eating grass because they didn't have any food to eat. So they were eating grass. That's extreme poverty. Difficulties. I remember landing in this place called Mario Bay and looking, and just every hut had been burned to the ground. Every single one of them. You look at this. We flew and just, we kept passing over the village because there was still smoke coming from the huts. Looking and just seeing like every single one had been burned to the ground. And we landed and one or two people came out. And we said, what's taking place? And they went through. They said they came in. They burned everything. They stole all of our cooking utensils. They threw the dead bodies in the wells. They showed us this tree that had bullet holes all in it, where they had just executed person after person up against this tree stump. And looking and seeing people that had been shot. And I remember sitting there and hearing something in the background going, what is that? What's that noise? And it got louder and I heard singing. And I sat there going, what? What is that? And I knew the song. It was, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And they were singing in their language and then they were singing it in English. And I ran, and then I just saw like this group and I said, who is that? They said, that's a church. And literally like it was hundreds of people walking that had been out and hiding, but now they saw the plane arrived and they come in just singing. And we all sat underneath this huge tree, and this guy stood up, the leader of the church. He said, they could take everything we have, but they can't take Christ. And they said, we praise God for this famine. We praise God for what they've done, because it was a very short time ago that we were worshiping trees. And it was just, you could see within them this joy. And then they just started singing and they worshiped and they continued singing. We had a church service there underneath the tree. And you look at that and you think, out of the most severe trial, there's overflowing joy. And even in the extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. I pray that that would be where we are as a church. That the generosity would be such that when people are really struggling financially, that the rest of the church will look and say, we want to minister to you. What is it that we can do? How can we help? There's extreme poverty and it welled up into rich generosity. I was listening to that particular sermon by Jumper, and he said that the most impoverished state in the United States is Mississippi. But then he went on to say, but per capita, Mississippi gives more than all the other states put together, or all the other states individually. Highest percentage comes from Mississippi, but it's also the most impoverished. Even in poverty, it wells up into rich generosity. I love that. Looking at that and saying, God, help us to be like that. Hebrews 13:3, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Looking at those that are mistreated, looking at those that are going through difficulty, and saying, I'll remember them as if I was chained with them. I'll think of members of our church as if I am them going through the same circumstances. Through the same circumstances. As if I was chained up with them. Since we ourselves are in the body also. Biblical Christianity. Going through a difficult time and saying, it's as if we just lost our job. You just lost your job. It's as if we genuinely did as well. Because we're part of the body also. Acts 4, verse 34. Now was there anyone among them who lacked? Verses, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one, to each as anyone had need. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that teaching communism, as some would like to say? It's teaching biblical Christianity, loving. Can you imagine a church that just, you're looking and you see people that are in our midst and they don't have something to eat. They don't have a roof over their head. And you look at God's calling, and I know. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that if I lost everything today and had no ability to provide food for myself and for my family, there's no doubt in my mind that I would have food and a roof over my head tonight for myself and for my family. There's no doubt in my mind. I could think of so many members of our church where I know they would be there. And I know that there's not one person here that if they had no place to sleep tonight and no ability to provide food for themselves, that they would go hungry or not have a place to sleep. Looking at it and saying, we're a church that loves, and when one member suffers, we all do with them, and we would just bring it and say, hey, here you go. Who has need? Give it to them. Because we don't hold tightly to the things that are here in this world. As Christians, we ought not to. We should look and say, it's just stuff. It's stuff. See, I'll burn someday anyhow. It's just stuff. And look at it and saying, I don't want to hold too tightly to it. Biblical Christianity. There's dangers of money. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. There ought to be a difference with us. Don't desire to be rich. Don't desire to just accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. Look and say, it's a snare. Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But look and rather saying, I want to flee these things. It doesn't mean that if God blesses you with a good job that you don't look and, you know, and accept. But looking and saying it doesn't matter the most to us. I want to flee that. I want to flee materialism and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Just biblical Christianity. Let's talk for a moment about worrying. You might find yourself in a place where it seems stressful. You're starting to worry about the situation that's there. You look and you think, oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I can make this many more house payments, or I'm looking at it and things are difficult. Well, look at Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There's a rebuke that goes out there. Oh, you of little faith. Think of the amount of stress that people build up over things, over stuff. And God says, oh, you of little faith. Like, do you really think that I'm going to make it so that you're not provided for? And it doesn't mean that we may not lose certain possessions, but the fact of the matter is that God's saying, I'm in control of it. I'll give you everything that you need, and I'm going to mold you and conform you into his image. And we just trust him. We trust him. We say, God, your will be done. Whatever you will, I trust you. I don't want us to be categorized as these people where he says, oh, you of little faith. Rather looking and saying, I just trust him. I don't know what's going to happen to my arm, and I don't know what's going to happen as far as if there's a brain tumor that's there. I don't know whether I'll live through this next trip that we're taking. I don't know whether or not I'm going to be able to provide and do everything that I need to keep certain possessions, but I trust him. I just trust him. I don't worry that he's going to take me home before he's supposed to. I know that he's in control. I don't worry that it's going to be a situation where all is gone. I look and I say, God, you know. You know all these things all together. And there's times where our flesh will start to stress and stress and stress. And that's when you need to preach this to yourself. You preach this sermon to yourself. You preach this text to yourself, and you look and you say, no, I don't want to be, oh, you of little faith. I know he could take a sea and he could divide it and let me walk right through. He can have manna fall down from heaven if he desires. He's in control of this. There's nothing too hard for him. He can make an axe head float. He can multiply fish and he can multiply loaves. He can do all these things. He's our provider. He's our God. I trust him. And when you do that, it honors him. It's worship. When you're looking at your circumstances and you're looking and you're looking at your hands and you're saying they're empty, you're looking at your bank account saying it's not only empty, it's in the negative right now. You look and you say, I trust him. And God's exalted. He's worshiped in the midst of him. He goes on and he says, Therefore, do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's look at these other passages more quickly. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. It all belongs to him. Everything does. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. A provider. He is able. He is able and willing to make all grace abound towards you. Nothing's too hard for him. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then I put some verses in there that deal with just God's sovereignty over everything. Let's look at them real quick. Psalm 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. You can throw dice, you can look and say, wow, I'll make the decision based on this. And God's saying, every decision is from him. God's not looking saying, oh, what do I do now? I had it all worked out, and then they did that. You have to understand, that's not the Lord your God. You may not be in his will, but he chastens those that he loves. It's impossible for you to come to a place where God is no longer in control. He may allow you to fall into sin. He may have it be to where you're in sin and the results is a very difficult life. But it doesn't change the fact that he's sovereign over all of it and he'll use it to mold you and to conform you into his image. And it doesn't make it so that your sin is good. But it does mean that he is in control of all of it. I see people and they sin terribly, and the fruit of it is terrible. It's terrible. What it does to their family, what it does to those around them, it's terrible. But it doesn't mean that God's shocked by it, or that it wasn't a part of his sovereign and decreed plan. Proverbs 19:21, for there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that tells us, that will stand. People make plans, but the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Psalm 33, verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of peoples of no effect. The counsel of the land the Lord stands forever. The plan of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. For us as Christians, blessed are us. Look, and he brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of peoples, of the peoples, of no effect. I love that. I love that. I can get kind of stressed with political situations. I'm one of those people that may look and just be like, oh, why? What's going to happen now? You know, and you start to do that. I do that. And it's when I need to go back. I need to go back and look at passages like this and says, he brings it to nothing. That particular person may think they're so big and they can make all these decisions. God can make that particular person out in the field grazing like he's done with others. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Is God in control of this recession? Yeah, absolutely. Can we be a church that thinks biblically on these things? Yeah. Can we have such a big view of God that he's exalted even when bank accounts go down low? Yeah. Can we look and say, well, biblically, we could provide for each other. Biblically, we could look and say, I don't need this. I can sell that. Who is in need? Let's minister to them. Let's help them. Yeah, absolutely. We could be like that. Look and saying, we're a body. And when one part suffers, all the rest suffer with that particular part. Looking and saying, I'm gonna trust him. Thinking of the times where you've gone through a tribulation or a trial and saying, I remember being there and how God comforted me. I'm going to now go and comfort others with the same way that he comforted me. Seeing that there's a reason for everything that takes place. And using it to minister to the body. Using it to preach the gospel. Using it to cause people who have a small view of God to have a gigantic view of God. People that are so stressed with such a heavy weight that's upon them. People that worry about everything. And look and say, look what God says. Don't worry. Don't fall into that category of, oh ye of little faith. Haven't you seen what God's done? Don't you know the Lord your God? And then lastly, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks. If there is times of plenty right now, give thanks. If there's times of want right now, give thanks. Trust Him during this time, regardless of what it is. Praise Him and give thanks. Amen.